There's a verse that says, in honor, preferring one another. You know what? That is a trademark of the Church of God. I desire your prayers this evening. Sometimes when the Lord starts giving a message and the scriptures start coming, and I think, yes, this is probably for somebody. And then by the time it's over, I say, maybe it's for no one more than for me. And really, you know, we need to be thankful for that, that the Lord is interested in me making heaven also. So I want to share with you a message today. Maybe as we start this meeting, it'll be important for us. There are laws that God has put in place, and it does not matter what people believe out in the world, that law stands. There's a verse I'd like to start with in Ecclesiastes 3 and 14. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. God doeth it that men may fear before him. You know, God set some laws in motion at creation time. There is a law of gravity. And you know, there can be people that say, I do not believe in God, but I don't know of anyone that does not believe in the law of gravity. And because it's a simple test that you can do, you throw a rock straight up in the air and say, I don't believe in gravity. My mom used to have a little saying, it's going to make a believer out of you. It's just a simple law that God put in place, and it'll never change. There's another law that God put in place, as sure as the law of gravity. It is the law of sowing and reaping. This law will never change. I was thinking about it clear back at creation time. The harvest will always resemble the seed that was shown, what was sown. It says that in Genesis 1, he caused there to be some trees that the seed was after its kind. It has been that way in nature. It is that way in human lives. Over in James 3 and 12, when it starts talking to us in that chapter about the tongue, it says, is it possible that the fig tree will bear olive berries? It won't do it. It's one of the laws that God has put in place. The sowing is going to resemble what we sow. We're going to see it in the reaping. And you know what can happen to me? I can spend my time looking at your vineyard, seeing how you have done it. There is a verse in the Song of Solomon. It says, I was made the keeper of vineyards, but my vineyard I have not kept. That is a serious verse when I apply it to what we're talking about tonight. I was made the keeper of vineyards. Took care of, you know, really as a minister, that's what the Lord has given us, is to try to help you with your vineyard. But you know what? I don't want to do it to the effect that I don't take care of my own. Solomon wrote some important things in the Bible. He wrote one thing over in Proverbs 24 and 30. I went by the field. This is Solomon talking, I believe, giving us an example of life. I went by the field of the slothful and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And when I looked at it, it was in disrepair. It needed a lot of help. And he said, I saw it, I considered it, took some instruction from it. Little sleep, little slumber, little folding of the hands to sleep. I want us to think about something. This was Solomon giving us this example. What if God was giving Solomon a warning. Solomon, wisest man that ever lived, failed to keep his own vineyard. And I say, Lord, help me. Solomon gave so much good advice. He said in Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all diligence, because out of it are the issues of life. The things that flow out of it, the seeds that I get as my mind dwells on things and my heart starts yearning after things. Then there's a scripture. It's kind of letting me know, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Guard your affections. Guard the things that you allow your mind to dwell on and your heart to go after. Because this sowing the seed is going to have some reaping. And if it's not in this life, the reaping will be in that to come. Lord, help us. I want to go over to the verse that we will normally look at in this kind of a study. In Galatians 6:7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. You know, usually when we read this, we'll focus on the sinner that is sowing some seeds, and he's going to have some terrible reaping. In fact, it says that it's possible to sow the wind, and it comes back, you reap the whirlwind. You know, we see sin doing that. It started out to be just a small little thing. But you know, you never plant one kernel of corn and expect to only get one kernel back again. You're expecting to get several ears with lots of kernels to it. Life is also like that. Usually we will focus on the sinner and the seeds that he's planting. But tonight I want to see, is there any application about this for my life? And I have a desire to make heaven my home. I think we even sang the song tonight. I mean to go right on until the crown is won. I mean to fight the fight of faith till life on earth is done. I'll never more turn back. That's some good singing right there. And then there's another song that maybe as I look at sowing and reaping that I need to add with that. That song is, my soul be on thy guard, 10,000 foes arise. And what's the purpose for it? To draw thee from the skies. Solomon, the wisest man that ever lived, he planted a seed in his vineyard one day. We find it over in Proverbs 3:5. The Lord came to visit him one day, and it's in 1 Kings 3:5. God comes to him and he says, you ask whatever you want, I'll give it to you. Here's an opportunity to plant some seed in your vineyard. You could have some desires. I want wealth, I want health, I want all these things. What was the seed that Solomon planted? It goes down in here on 1 Kings 3:6. 7, now, O Lord, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. Look at his attitude. I am but a little child. Don't know how to go out or come out in. Your servant is in the midst of a people which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered for multitude. You know what he sowed? He sowed a seed of humility. Realizing how much he needed God. Lord, I recognize myself to be just a little child when it comes to being able to govern these people. You know, we have verses that tell us, Romans 12:3, don't think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. It'll be a safeguard, because I tell you, this sowing and reaping is not just to the sinner. I can sow some things. You remember the verse that says, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall, because there are some little seeds that can be planted that cause me some problem. But right here is Solomon realizing how much he needs God. and the humility that he has with that. Good time for humility to be shown for him. And he says in 3:9, here's my request. Lord, I'm not looking for a bank account. Here's what I need. Lord, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. Who's able to judge this, thy so great a people? You know, that's a prayer that I need to be praying to the Lord myself. Lord, I need an understanding heart. An understanding heart, not so I can discern what's in your vineyard, but that I would be able to discern good and bad in me. Because it's possibilities of seed being sown in my life. And then we read where the speech pleased the Lord, that Solomon had asked this thing. And you know, he says, because you didn't ask for riches, here's what you asked for. I'm going to give you understanding, and I'm also going to add these other things to you. But there's just one little word that I want us to look at, because we sometimes will say, Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived. It says that in the Bible, there will be none like you afterwards. You know, there's a little word hooked to that, for that to be true. It's in the 14th verse. If. You know what? If is about choices that we make. God can tell us, I got heaven for you. I'm going to take you there. If you'll follow me. He told Solomon, I'm going to give you both riches and honor. There will not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days, if you will walk in my ways. Lord, to Solomon, Lord, I want you to help me keep my vineyard. I went by the field of the slothful. If Solomon could have only realized, Lord, this might not be a proverb for those out in the future. This could be a warning for me. Because when I went by the field and then I looked at the address, I realized that's one of my vineyards that I haven't kept up. Lord, help us. But you know what? He did keep his vineyard. We read about it over in the 10th chapter of 1 Kings. First verse, the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord. She came to prove him with hard questions. It says, third verse, Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. And now she's looking over how he's kept his vineyard. And here's her surmising of it. Fourth verse, when the queen of Sheba had seen all of Solomon's wisdom, the house that he built, the meat of his table, the sitting of his servants, the attending of his ministers, their apparel, the cupbearers, and how he went up his ascent by which he went up to the house of the Lord. You know, man, she saw a lot of royal people that walked very proudly. I don't believe he was another one of those walking up to God as an equal. I think what stood out to her was with all the things that God had given him, he still had the humility that stood out to her. And what does she say in that? She said, it's a true report, sixth verse, that I heard in my own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit I believed not the words till I came, and my eyes have seen it. Look at this eighth verse. Happy are thy men. Happy are, you know, this is something that stands out to her. There's a whole lot of kings had servants that we're not happy. This one says, something that really impresses me, Solomon, seems like the Queen of Sheba is saying, your servants are happy. They're enjoying serving you. And in the ninth verse, blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighteth in thee. I wonder, that's the 10th chapter of 1 Kings. And the Queen of Sheba went back home again. I wonder if she ever heard about his fall in the very next chapter. Yes. Solomon failed to keep his vineyard. After giving us so much instruction of how to keep ours, it's a warning to me. We're not home yet. The devil has a plan for every one of us. I want to look at another area that Solomon failed to keep his vineyard. One of the things, and we can just read over it real quick, when she says, "Your servants are so happy, it impresses me." But some years passes by, and there's something different being said now. Solomon's dead. His son Rehoboam is king. And the children of Israel come and stand before him. And what is the report that they had of Solomon? He failed to keep his vineyard. And what I get from that is, Lord help me. If the wisest man that ever lived failed, I need God's help for myself. Because I am sowing seeds. Solomon sowed some seeds. It's a warning for me today. Because something happened to Solomon's heart from the time Queen of Sheba saw him and the people that were so happy to serve him. There's a warning for me too. You know, in Matthew 24, it starts talking about, watch therefore. You know, this comes on down to us now. 24 and 44, be ye therefore ready. For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Just continually doing the things that I know to do. It would have been so nice if Solomon's life had ended finding him so doing. At the end of his life, they could still say, happy are thy servants. But it didn't end up that way. It goes on down even past this. In this story, there's another servant. If that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants. You know, time passed for Solomon. Queen of Sheba was so impressed, but he lived some more years sowing some other seeds that brought back a bitter harvest. One of the things that stands out to me is Solomon no doubt knew what all David had to go through. While he was anointed king and he ran from Saul all those years with Saul desiring to kill him. I believe Solomon knew all that. You know, that same thing happened in Solomon's life before it was over. He had a servant named Jeroboam that had served him so well. When God departs from Solomon, Solomon seeks to kill Jeroboam. How can we move from 1 Kings 3? Lord, would you give me an understanding heart? I want to be able to discern between the good and the evil. You know, not so much in the two women that bring the baby. I want to be able to discern that. But Lord, help me to discern in my own life the things that will cause me to sow seed that takes me the wrong direction. Deuteronomy 30 and 19, it says, I've set before you life and death. You know what those are? Those are from choices that we make. Eve didn't fall over dead when she made some choices, but she sowed some seed that brought a bitter harvest. I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing, and then I'm going to give you just a little bit of advice. He's saying, choose life so that both you and your seed may live. You know what? That's the children. That could have been said to Solomon. Solomon, I'm setting before you life and death. Choose life because you got a son named Rehoboam that's coming on behind you. There was a lot of the Proverbs that was given as good instruction. And you know, a lot of it is said, my son, listen to the advice that I want to give you. And you've also heard this. Many things end up in the category of do as I say and not as I do. That ended up being Solomon's testimony. Rehoboam got to watch his father's life. I was looking at it. Sometimes I like to see, you know, when was Rehoboam? When did he come into the picture? It says he was born a year before Solomon began to rule. So he saw it all, the progression of it all. He would have probably known about the Queen of Sheba coming by and being so impressed. He also knew about the 700 wives and the 300 concubines and them turning his heart away from God. And now Rehoboam has a vineyard that he should keep. I don't want this to be just Old Testament stories. We have a vineyard that we need to keep. And we have children that are coming along behind us. Rehoboam watched his father, and then he made some decisions. Here was a fine opportunity for Rehoboam to have the same prayer that his father had at the 1 Kings, the 3rd chapter. Lord, I tell you, now I'm the one in charge, and I need an understanding heart. Please help me, Lord. Because here comes a testimony from maybe the same men that had been so happy to serve Solomon before. What did they say? Thy father made our yoke grievous. If you will make it lighter, we'll serve you. Time to plant. What are you going to plant now? You remember it? He went to the old men for counsel. I'm about to plant a seed here. Would you give me some advice? What was their advice? If you will be a servant. You remember Solomon said, called himself a servant when he's asking the Lord for wisdom. This comes from the old men's counsel to Rehoboam. If you'll be a servant to this people this day, they'll serve you. And Rehoboam rejected the counsel of the old men. In fact, he came back and said, I'm going to add to your yoke. Now, how you ever expect, that's a foolish way to expect to lead a people. I'm going to make it worse for you than my dad ever made for you. Said he spoke roughly to them. And at that time, 10 tribes left. You know, these were family. These were brothers. You know how that ended up? Jeroboam got 10 tribes. And it says in 1 Kings 14 and 30, there was war between Rehoboam and Jeroboam all their days. You remember the time when at least all Israel was together, when Goliath was mocking them? They at least were all together in one unit. The Philistines were their enemy. And now times have changed. We're fighting each other for the rest of the days. I look at this because, you know, as I started, studying this, I could easily say it's a message to share. But I didn't go very far till I said, you know, I can look back over my life and I see some things that if I had it to do all over again, I'd do it different. You know, we're not talking tonight about sin. Sin is some seed that is sown. But you know what? The devil has a plan for you and me, saved and sanctified folks. He has a plan. He doesn't care if it takes 1 year. I don't know how many years it took Solomon, from the time the Queen of Sheba made a visit to him and when he went out to kill Jeroboam, some time had passed. But I look and say, Lord, help me. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. There's over in Galatians, the 5th chapter, and in the 14th verse, I think about this with Rehoboam and Jeroboam. All the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Then it goes on, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. Warnings for us. Solomon gave us a story about the vineyard that was all grown over. It possibly could have been a warning to him of his own future. Lord, help us to learn from it. How can I prevent this from being my story? There's a way to do it. It's in Psalms 139, 23 and 24. I'm going to have to do what Solomon did. I'm going to have to come before him very humbly, very low. Remember, to this man will I look. To him that is of a humble and a contrite spirit, trembles at my word, that's who I'm looking toward, and I want to be there. What is this one? Search me, O God, and know my heart. You know what? He already knows my heart. What I'm really saying is, Lord, what you know, would you help me to be able to recognize it? Try me. Know my thoughts. You know what, folks? This is where it all starts, in our thoughts. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You know what? That sowing is starting in my head. It's starting with thoughts coming to me. It's determined by choices that I'm making every day. But you know what? This is not all negative. The Lord wants it to be positive. Because on every one of these places where it says sowing to the flesh, it also says it's possible to sow to the spirit. And what I want to be able to do is focus. You know what, Lord? I want to sow some seeds that will bring forth the right kind of fruit. I don't want to say, you know what, if Solomon couldn't make it, I can't make it either. Yes, I can. What I need to do is just learn from his mistakes and realize, you know what, I'm going to have to carry humility with me all the way through, from the beginning to the end. What does it say in Galatians 5 and 22? The fruit, here's the seed's been planted. Now I've got some fruit coming from it. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Planting these seeds in my life is going to bring forth a pretty good harvest. Not for me only, but for my children coming along behind me. When I have planted gentleness in my life and it produces fruit. And I tell you, as I look at this and I say, Lord, if I had it to do all over again, there's some things that I could do different in gentleness, meekness, in lowliness of mind, esteeming the other. Lord, help us. Because the seeds, when they plant, get planted, they're going to bring a harvest. There's a verse over in 2 Peter. Second Peter 1 is telling us, 5th verse, giving all diligence, add to your faith. We're starting to put some things together here. We're planting some seed. Add to your faith virtue. Add to virtue knowledge. To knowledge temperance. To temperance patience. Patience godliness. And then add to your godliness some brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness charity.
It says, if these be in you and abound, they'll make you that you neither be barren nor unfruitful. There's going to be some fruit coming out. Others are going to be able to taste of that fruit. I am so thankful for that. I want to look at another verse. In Proverbs 31, this is Solomon again. Who can find a virtuous woman? And when I read the qualities of what he was describing, there's a little piece that stood out to me. In Proverbs 31 and 25 through 26. Because I would like for this not to be just a virtue of women. I think it's something good for all of us. 31, 25. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue there's a law of kindness is in her tongue. I believe that's not just a virtue for women. I believe it's a virtue that every one of us can have, and I say, Lord, help me. So now I look at my vineyard. You know, I can spend a lot of time looking at Solomon's and how he wasted so much. What about mine? The fruit of kindness, how much is being born in my life? We sing a song, keep me gentle, let no word from my lips be ever heard that shall wound a tender heart and cause a tear of grief to start. What if Rehoboam's tongue had been governed by the law of kindness? What he could have profited if he had sown some kindness when the folks said, your dad, he missed it. Your dad gave us a grievous burden to bear. If you'll just lighten the load for us, we'll serve you. That was a fine opportunity for him. We sing another song. When I look o'er the past, I behold how his wide arms of mercy held me. You know what? He's had mercy on me for the past. His wide arms of mercy that would say, Dan, your attitude was not right there, and give me an opportunity to go back and fix it. Wanting me to have the law of kindness in my tongue. There's another song. Let me be a little kinder. Let me be a little blinder to the faults of those about me. Let me praise a little more. Let me be, when I am weary, just a little bit more cheery and think a little more of others and a little less of me. You know what? When we do that, we're going to be sowing some seeds that's going to bring back some wonderful fruit. I want to look at another verse over in Ephesians 4 and 31 tells us, should I find that my vineyard is like the one that Solomon described, needs some repair. Look at 31. You know, we get an opportunity to clean up a bad vineyard in this life. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And then it tells us what we can plant. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. How do we do that? How are we able to maintain a tender heart? There's a verse in 2 Corinthians. It says we've got some weapons that we can use. 10 and 4, the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought. You know what? A seed, whether it's good or bad, begins with a thought. And whether we cast that thought out It's pretty easy. You can read this verse about casting down imaginations, bringing into captivity every thought. That just takes a couple seconds to read that. And it takes a lifetime of asking the Lord to help me to bring my thoughts into control to the obedience of Christ. A few weeks ago, we were here for Dad Wall's funeral. We sang a song that he had said before that it was his favorite. I'd like for us to sing that in closing, but I'd like for us to look at something. This is the title of his song. We reap as we sow, number 393. You know, it says in this song, you know, it's an important song to keep in our favorites list. Lord, I'm going to reap the things that I'm sowing. If we shall scatter tares in the fallow, how shall we hope that they shall not grow? We cannot gather wheat for the garner, if only wheat, useless weeds we shall sow. But what I want to look at is the last verse. Gentleness, kindness, purity, trueness. You sow those seeds, and you got a guarantee. It's going to yield a rich fruitage never to cease. Sowing in meekness under the Spirit, it brings eternal blessings and peace. You know what? This was available for Solomon. He had to keep his heart with all diligence day after day. Ne'er think the victory won, nor once at ease sit down. Thine arduous work will not be done till thou hast got the crown. We're going to have to be on guard every day. Soon, you're going to gather. I'm going to gather what I now scatter. Unto your life, give diligent heed. What we're sowing tonight surely is growing. That which we reap is going to look just like the seed that we planted. It's just going to be a lot more of it. You know this, when we sing it, I think it has a beautiful tune, but more than that, it has a challenging message to us each one. But along with it, when it tells us, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. If we sow to the flesh, we're going to reap corruption. If we sow to the Spirit, there's some reaping also. We're going to reap life everlasting. And then there's just one more little piece to that verse. Don't be weary in well-doing. We're going to reap if we faint not. Folks, keep on sowing good seed. There's going to come a harvest from it. And always remembering, when the devil wants to bring something else to plant in our mind, Lord, help me. I don't want that seed to grow into a vine. And the next time I read Proverbs 24, I went by the field of the slothful. May I examine and ask God, does that field have my address on it? It doesn't have to be a total waste of my life, but maybe an area of my life that needs to be tightened up. I say, God, help me. My desire is to make heaven my home. I desire your prayers.